Welcome to this daily PBJ devotional. This devotional is about Hebrews 10. For the law is only a shadow of the good things to come, not the realities themselves. It can never, by the same sacrifices offered year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would not the offerings have ceased? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all, and would no longer have felt the guilt of their sins. Instead, those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you took no delight." Then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." In the passage above, he says, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor did you delight in them, although they are offered according to the law." Then he adds, "Here I am. I have come to do your will." He takes away the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been sanctified through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Day after day, every priest stands to minister and to offer again and again the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made a footstool for his feet, because by a single offering he has made perfect for all time those who are being sanctified. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. First, he says, "This is the covenant I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts and inscribe them on their minds." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more." And where these have been forgiven, an offering for sin is no longer needed. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way opened for us through the curtain of his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold resolutely to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. Let us not neglect meeting together, as some have made a habit, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. If we deliberately go on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth, no further sacrifice for sins remains, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume all adversaries. Anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. How much more severely do you think one deserves to be punished, who has trampled on the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant that sanctified him, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge his people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Remember the early days that you were in the light. In those days, you endured a great conflict in the face of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to ridicule and persecution. At other times, you were partners with those who were so treated. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property, knowing that you yourselves had a better and permanent possession. So do not throw away your confidence. It holds a great reward. You need to persevere, so that after you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. but my righteous one will live by faith, and if he shrinks back, I will take no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. This is God's word. This chapter wraps up the argument about the superiority of Christ to everything Old Testament. The main point of verses 1 through 14 is that Jesus' death is superior to the Old Testament sacrifices because his death was a permanent sacrifice for sins. In the words of verse 14, this from the NIV, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." And again, that's verse 14 from the NIV. That's why Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, according to verse 12b, because there was no more blood work to be done. The result of Jesus' sacrifice is genuine salvation, according to verses 15 through 18. God has forgiven us in Christ, as we saw in verses 17 and 18, and has regenerated us spiritually, putting his laws into our minds and our hearts, as we saw in verses 15 and 16. Because of all of this, and because all of this is true, the author of Hebrews applied these truths to Christians like us by giving us two sets of application steps. The first set of application steps consists in learning to worship God sincerely. We saw that in verses 19 through 22, devotedly, as verse 23 put it, and servingly, okay, I made that last word up, but it works, as we saw in verse 24, as well as corporately in verse 25. The second set of applicational steps involves not turning away from God. We saw that in verses 26 through 35, but instead to persevere in faith and obedience, as verses 36 through 9 put it. Let's focus today on verse 14, which says this in the NIV, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." That verse compresses into one capsule two important truths about our faith. First, we are perfect. Don't deny it or think about all the ways that you are imperfect. When God looks at you, he sees absolute, perfect obedience. Given how easily and frequently we disobey his word, how is that even possible? The answer is in the first part of the verse, which says this, "For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever." Notice that it was Jesus' death that made us perfect in God's sight. It says by one sacrifice. And it was his act, not ours, that made us perfect in God's sight. It says he has made perfect forever in that verse. So you and I are not considered perfect by God because God is blind to our sins and our flaws. No, we're perfect before God because Jesus paid for all of our sins, past, present, and future. His death did everything that was necessary to cause God to treat us as perfect. When a defendant is acquitted of murder, the state treats him as if he is and always was innocent of murder, whether he actually was perfect or not. In our case, we were all guilty of many crimes before God, but Jesus paid for all of them. God, in his role as judge, then, treats us according to our legal standing in Christ, not according to our actual record of good and evil. This means that if you're in Christ, there's nothing you can ever do to cause God to treat you as guilty again. You should not try to impress God with your good works or your righteousness or your growth or your knowledge. You should be thankful that he sees you as perfect because you're in Christ. This is a positional truth. That is, Christ's death gave us perfect position, that is, perfect standing before God, even though we still sin. The other side of verse 14 is that Christ has perfected those who are being made holy. That is the practical truth of our faith. Positionally, we have perfect standing before God, if we're in Christ. But practically speaking, we've got work to do. We have a long way to go. God, however, is working on us, Notice the voice of verse 14 is passive. It says, we are being made holy. Through his word, his church, through trials, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, God is working on us. He is changing us so that who we are practically will eventually match who we are positionally in Christ. In Christ, we are positionally perfect. Through Christ, we are becoming perfect in practice. The reason why we obey God's word now is not to save ourselves, to make God like us more, or to keep him from disliking us. Our position is secure in Christ. God loves us because we're in Jesus, and God loves Jesus. The reason why we obey God's word is because we want to become holy like God is. Like a child who desires to become like his parents. Not to gain their favor, he's already got that. But because he truly admires them. We as God's children have a desire now to become holy like he is. Let these truths change you. You are secure in Christ, so you don't need to worry about sin knocking you out of favor with God. But God is working in you to change you, to think and act like Jesus too. He wants your position to match your reality. So let him purify you from sin as you grow in your faith each day. If you found this devotional helpful, please sign up to receive it every day by email by going to dailypbj.com/subscribe. And please consider financially supporting me so I can continue this work. And please share this with someone else who might find it helpful as well. May God bless you today. I hope you have a great day. We'll see you next time.